Finance Committee is now open. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on March 6th?
So moved.
May I, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number one. Presentation by in questions and answers with Joseph Newton, FSA, from GRS Consulting regarding the City of Warwick Pensions Plan, City of Warwick Post-Employment Liabilities, Strategies for Funding City of the Warwick OPEB Liabilities. I just want to inform the public and those listening, the presentation is available on the city website and you may follow along at that time. So I'll begin by introducing Finance Director for the City of Warwick, Peter Schaefer. It's all yours, Chair Director.
I just wanted to give an introduction to Joe, who has been, he's been the actuary for the city since 2008. And I worked with him. He also is involved with the state retirement system, so I had some contact with him. And the firm and its predecessor firm have been actuaries for the city going back to at least the 1980s. And I worked with a former colleague of his when I was here in my my previous tenure.
Director, Mr. Schaefer, over here. You need to speak. We're having a difficult time hearing you.
Let me take it right up. Is that better? Thank you. So Joe is going to be reporting on the funding status of the four retirement plans that the city has. And he's going to be reporting on the city's OPEB, other post-employment benefits liability. You may remember I came to you close to a year ago to change actuaries so that we had the same person working on both the pension liabilities and status and our other post-employment benefits. And then he's going to be also talking about strategies for addressing the OPEB liability. And he's going to focus on a revised funding plan for the fire and police one plan. And I was here, I was telling Joe, I was here in 1995 when we adopted that. I was the finance director and we had a PowerPoint back then. And we're going to have another PowerPoint here. It's been a successful plan. We can make some changes now to free up resources for some other critical liabilities relating to other health benefits, retiree health benefits. But he's also going to talk about some fund. He's going to be talking about some funding plan, funding availability from the municipal plan beginning in 2027, because we will have paid off an amortization of a liability. And then at the end, we've got some city initiatives, one of them which you're very familiar with, which is employee contributions for OPEB and whether how that can integrate into this. As you know, we approved the fire contract. But the 2% that they will contribute only goes into effect if we negotiate it with the other employee groups. So that's another resource. And the last one is we have quite a reserve built up in our retiree health pool, health benefits health pool that came about when we changed health insurers. So that's going to be another resource. As you know, there's no votes tonight. This is an informational meeting, and we're ready to respond to your questions. Joe?
Mr. President, may we ask Mr. Schaefer questions? What about questions to Mr. Schaefer ahead of time?
Yes, good evening. It's good to see everybody. It's been a few years since I've been here in front of you. It's always a good time. And so hopefully this evening we enjoy it as well. I apologize. There are numbers in this presentation, a lot of them if you've looked through it. It's a little heavy, but I think you'll see it actually all comes together pretty good and has a pretty interesting outcome at the end that really can change the city's trajectory on these programs going forward, not only from a cost perspective, but mainly from a risk perspective and an efficiency perspective. So we're going to start walking through this. I'm not sure y'all's typical protocol. Do you take questions as we go from the council, or do you wait to the end? What's y'all's?
We're going to have the full presentation, and then we'll open it up okay. for members of the council and members of the public.
Okay, great. So what we're going to do is going to update on the pension programs. Then we're also going to do a quick update on the retiree medical program, other post-employment benefits. That's just going to give us our starting point, kind of our baseline. And then we're going to begin to talk about this kind of a comprehensive funding strategy to sustain these programs going forward. The city manages four pension plans. There's a municipal employees plan. There's a police fire one plan, which is police and fire hired, you know, well in the past that are all retirees now. It's a closed program. New police and fire going to police two and fire two. So those are open to new entrants. And then there is a post-retirement healthcare program. Now, it has historically not been advance funded. It's just funded, the claims or the premiums are funded directly out of the city's budget. So here on slide four is the current results of the pension programs in a funded ratio. So the funded ratio represents for every $100 of liability that we have, what assets do we have? So 80% would mean if we have $100 of liability, we'd have $80 of assets. And so you can see there across the four plans, the top three, the three open plans are all about 80% funded, if not a little bit higher. More importantly to me, if you look on the right, the top three programs, they're all improved. That's really what we're looking for. We want to see the funded ratio getting better year over year, and they all did. The police fire one plan was historically unfunded. So if you go back to before the 1990s, it was just paid as you pay as you go, just like the retiree medical program was. And so it was 0% funded at that time. And that's when the current 40-year structure was put in place. That's been working, that's been followed, and has gotten us up to 24% funded at this point, and has about 15 years left to move that to 100%. Due to some different data issues and the returns in the market this year, that one did not improve. But you can see combined, once you combine them, that police fire one brings it down the average to about 62% as of this last July 1st. If you just look at the three open plans, 81% funded there, and just kind of generally 80% and higher is seen as healthy in the industry. Lower than 80% is definitely when you start to not look healthy. Now that doesn't mean that's the goal. Like that's not where you're, you know, that's not the target to get to 80. Your target's to get to 100. But it does mean that we are, you know, kind of in that higher range. If you were to compare yourself to peers, 81% is going to look pretty good. The next big number that comes out of the valuation reports is the unfunded actuarial accrued liability. And what that represents is it kind of looks like a debt. It basically says, what liability do we have today? What assets do we have today? So what's the difference? How much of that liability is not covered by an asset right now? And just like a mortgage, what you want to see is when you look at last year's impact, you know, mortgage statement and this year's mortgage statement, you want to see that debt getting smaller. Right. And so you can see here across all four plans, three of them did get smaller in dollar for dollar. The other one was pretty much flat in total, though, down 3.9 million. So, again, that's the trajectory. That's the direction that we want to go is to see that getting smaller. Now, the mortgage analogy kind of stops because a mortgage analogy is fixed. Right. You know exactly what that payment schedule is going to look like. In this pension plan, we really have a lot of unknowns, especially on the asset side. So this moves around. There's a little bit of give and take, but over time, what you want to see is that unfunded liability getting smaller, and it is. So funded ratio is getting better. The unfunded liability getting smaller are both positive outcomes. The final number we want to talk about on the pension plans is the contributions to your budget there. The valuation actually sets the contribution that occurs 2 years out into the future. So the 2022 valuation actually sets the fiscal 24 contribution amount. And that way, like right now, you can deliver the results and you have time to get that in your budget. If you look at the top three, the open plans again, They all did increase, and in probably more than we expect them to. We expect all these to grow at around, say, 3% a year, 275, somewhere in there. And they all did go up by more than that. And it was almost all driven by headcount. You came out of the COVID, we had a pretty big contraction in headcount across almost all of your groups. And it took a while to get those back and replaced. When we did a 2021 valuation, that was kind of the low point. And then, so now it's popped back up. Well, for every person you have to put money into the plan for them. And so it looks like it went up by a lot more than it actually did proportionately. If you go down and look at the payroll number, it went up 4.5%. So the contribution as a percentage of payroll, almost exactly the same. So it's all proportionate to those additional heads that we had. Everything else came in very close to expected. In fact, if you look at the three open plans, the bottom numbers there, open plans as a percentage of payroll, 36.2% to 36.3%. So very stable there. Now we're going to switch to the retiree medical program. Now this is different because there's not money going in to advance fund future liabilities. Basically every year, the budget of the city is just equal to what they expect the premiums to be on behalf of those retirees that are covered. Now, a few years ago, you did have to begin to book that as a liability on your balance sheet. So this liability is on the city's balance sheet. And you can see there across the top, it's a pretty good size number, $397 million as of this valuation, down just a little from last valuation, but overall pretty much consistent there. Notice, though, there's no assets really next to it. About $200,000 that was just started at the end of last fiscal year. And so the funded ratio, 0.1%, essentially 0% funded. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is how to begin to deal with this program. Because if we look here on the next slide, this is the projected cash requirements into this program going forward. There's a few things going on here. One is the headcount. You know, the baby boomer generation is still retiring. The number of retirees continues to increase. But then also healthcare trend in general does outpace general inflation as well. So you get kind of both sides there hitting you. There might be one number in the middle there, the implicit subsidy, that most people haven't stopped and thought about very long. The second column, actual cash premiums, that's, well, if I take my number of retirees times the premiums, that's what I'm paying for them. The implicit subsidy is actually a number that the accounting world is forcing you to show. It actually is a real cost, but in your budget, it's actually money that's over in the active healthcare side. So because you have retirees in the program, your average premium is higher than it would be if you didn't have retirees in the program. If you only took your actives to an insurance company and said, hey, rate these people, these average 45-year-old, 40-year-old people, they'd give you a certain premium. Let's say it's $500. But now when you take your retirees too and your average age is 60, that's a higher age, costs more on healthcare, they're going to give you a total premium, maybe $700. That's an average of that group. And so the accounting world is saying, hey, that money is actually because you have a retiree medical program. If you didn't have a retiree medical program, your costs on your actives would be less. We want you to go ahead in your financial statements, show that as a retiree cost, not an active cost. And so that's something your accountants have to do, is make sure they don't double count it. You know, they have to make sure that, well, if I'm putting the $2.2 million on this side, I got to take it out over here. But in general, the third column is the total. You can see it's $13 million for this next fiscal year in total, expected to grow to almost $19 million by fiscal 2030. On the far right there, you see annual growth rates up front here, 7, 8, 6, 5% range. It does begin to tail off. You do have some benefit changes for people hired at different stages in the past, so that the programs a little less valuable as they get to retirement. And so you should see that here for a little while. However, down the road, once that's all worked its way through, you would see it begin to grow again back at probably that 4 to 5% per year range. So, and this is just cash costs. This does not include putting any money aside for a future, benefit payment. And so here, just to wrap up, slide 9 is the total. Because from the city's perspective, you know, you're putting resources towards retirement. This all is going in together. And so this is going to be our baseline projection here. This is all the programs. So you have the three open plans, municipal, police 2, fire 2. And then you have police fire 1. And that 40-year schedule, you can see there, it's $20.6 million for fiscal 23. It goes up to $28 million over the next decade. The OPEB claim payments, 13 million up to the, you know, about 20 million that we talked about on the previous slide. And so in column eight, that's just, if you just add those up, if you just add up columns 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you see that's the total dollars from the city going to retirement programs, and then the rate of growth. And so these next few years, 5, 7, 4, 5, 3, 9, you know, pretty high number, I would imagine, compared to your budget overall. And then you see in 2027 that we get a negative. And what is that? So if you go all the way back over to column two and look at the municipal program, you see it drops from 8.9 million down to 3.6 million that year. So all the open plans are funded in what's called a layered amortization approach. And what that means is anytime there's a new unfunded liability, if there's a new liability that's not covered by assets, we're going to put that on a payment schedule and make sure we pay that off. And it's a 20-year payment schedule. Well, there was a big payment schedule set up back in 2005-2006 timeframe for the tech bubble and some assumption changes that were made at that time. That runs out in 2026. And so in 2026, when that amortization schedule is fully completed, there's going to be a pretty good drop in the required contribution into that program that year. And so you can see it's big enough to make a change overall to the city's total contribution. And it's actually happening in the other ones. You can't see it quite as clearly. Column four, if you look out between 2031 and 2032 for fire, it goes from 5.6 to 5.3. That's the same thing. There's some amortization base sitting there that falls off, and that's why it goes down. Because overall, these should grow with about inflation, we'll say, over time. So now that we kind of have the baseline, what I really want to point out is columns five and six. Because columns five and six are, you know, a majority of the total, right? You have police, fire, one, and the OPEB claims. And so kind of whatever's happening with those is what's going to drive the overall cost over the next decade. And that's really what we're going to look at today is being as efficient as we can with those dollars, not changing any of the benefits, not putting them at risk either. Just how can we be the most efficient possible with these dollars over time? So the first thing to talk about is Police Fire 1. There was a 40-year payment schedule put in place in the 90s, and it's worked great. I mean, it's gotten the city to today. It's been a sustainable growth rate. But now you're getting to the point where you have to start asking, is it the most optimal place to be putting extra dollars? So here's the projected headcount of the group, about 400 retirees now. And you can see over the next couple decades, you know, about half of those will be removed from the population. And what the takeaway there is, for every new dollar that you put in the program and invest it, you only have about 8-10 years or so to generate investment earnings on that dollar before you get it back. Right, you don't get to put it in there like the open plans and just generating investment earnings for decades to come. You put it in there, and then in about 5 years, 6 years, you'll pay it out as a benefit payment. Right, so it's just like when you retire someday, if you talk to an investment advisor, they're gonna want you to get more defensive with your investments. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna say, hey, you don't have as long of a time horizon. Maybe you shouldn't be in equities. All those kinds of arguments. It's the same argument here. It's, is that the most efficient place to put a new dollar? Because you just don't have that many years to generate earnings with it, but it's at risk. And so if it goes down, you're going to have to make up the difference anyway, but you don't have a lot of time to generate a lot of good. So there's not a lot of reward for taking that risk over time. And so if we look at what the current schedule looks like, the red line here, which is kind of the one that's sloping across the page, that's the benefit payments. That's expect payouts of the trust fund. So you can see it stays pretty stable for about a decade and then just starts slowly declining off into the future. The blue line is your contribution schedule if you continue down the 40-year path. And so you can see it runs out in 2036. That's one of those amortization bases we've been talking about. And so when it's done, you get a huge drop in contributions. You should be fully funded. And then the city wouldn't have to make any more contributions after that. It should pay for the benefit payments for the rest of the time of this program. If you were putting your money into a guaranteed investment, this looks perfectly fine, right? Because if you look at it on this page, why not do this? Go up to the blue. You know, it is a pretty big burden, but then we get all these savings at the end. Well, we know that the contributions are going into volatile investments, risk investments, right? And so you could do this program and still have to put $5 or $8 million a year after the cliff if the returns haven't been there during this time period. The opposite, I think, is also a thing, something to think about, is that if things are good, so if you begin to put money in the plan and you outperform, and the benefit to the city, maybe you get to take off one of those contributions. Like, that's maybe a savings that you would get, maybe one of those. But then the money is in the trust fund, and even if it's outperforming, it's in the trust fund. It can never come back out until the last beneficiary is no longer being paid. And that could be 40 or 50 years into the future. So there's very little reward to the city down the road if the investments do really well. But the city could have to pay more still if the investments don't. So it's kind of a asymmetric risk situation. Now, if you have lots of money, then do both, right? Like, if you have lots of money, keep funding this plan and fund the OPEB plan. But I think if you have limited resources, what you want to do is make sure we're optimizing. We're being as efficient as possible with those dollars. And so that's what we're going to talk about. What's the best option for those new dollars? Police Fire One is only retirees. You have maybe 10 years to invest the money. The benefit payments, if you were to switch over and begin to pay those benefit payments, they're steady, they're no longer growing, and they're going to start declining. And then you look at the reward. Well, you might get a little bit less contributions, but your assets are locked up for a long time. The retiree medical program, however, is open to new hires. Every dollar that you put in, you have decades to invest the money. The benefit payments that you're paying out of your budget right now are volatile and growing. And if you do outperform over the long term, it would be substantial savings to the city from generating investment earnings. So it's, you do have the reward. Yeah, you're taking the risk, but that reward is sitting out there of a lot less investment or a lot more investment earnings, so less cost over time. And so what we're going to do is just talk about an alternative strategy here. First of all, I want to make sure there's nothing wrong with the current strategy. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it at all. It's following best practices. It will fund the programs. I just think you always want to say, hey, is it the most optimal we can be? Is this the most efficient we can be? And what we're going to show here is, I think, something that a little more efficient. So alternative funding strategy for Police Fire One, and I'm sorry, we're going to have to get technical for a second here. And you're like, holy cow, more technical. Yeah, some more technical. So what we're going to do is not legally, but on paper, when we do the contribution requirement every year, we're going to split the trust into two pieces, a funded, fully funded piece and a totally unfunded piece. So we're basically going to say, hey, how many assets do we have? Then we're going to take that much liability and put it right against that asset and say, hey, that's fully funded. We don't need any more money for that part. And then anything that's left over, we're going to say is unfunded, and the city will just make the benefit payments. We're not going to advance fund it anymore. You're not going to pay it to the retiree directly. You're going to put it in the pension fund, but then the pension fund will make the payment, but it's the amount, the same amount. And so you can see here in column A, we have 73 million of assets. So we went ahead and put 73 million of liability with it. So your unfunded liability for that piece is zero. You're 100% funded. You don't need any more contribution. So then on the right is just a 304 million minus that 231 million, same unfunded liability, but we're just not going to advance fund it. We're going to begin to pay it just on a pay-as-you-go basis. That 19.1 then would become the city's contribution for fiscal 24, and that compares to the 21.7 million currently that's scheduled to go in. So there is about 2.6 million savings to this program from this program right up front. And I think this graph helps to show what this looks like. So the red line here is the benefit payments. That's the same as the previous graph. But now instead of contributions into this program spiking up into the $30, $32 million range and then coming down, it's just going to be this nice smooth line across the page. And because you're not actually investing these monies, it's actually a very low risk. Like, it's not exposed to the market. So it's going to be a very predictable, stable number, that blue line going out, and it begins to decline. So every year it's a smaller and smaller and smaller portion of the city's budget. So that's that piece. I do want to go ahead and look at the full strategy. Because if you were to just do what you're doing now and begin to fully fund the OPEB program, it would be about $12 million more a year than you're doing now. So it would take the $54 million, and you'd have to add $12 million on top of that to begin to advance fund that one as well. So it's probably a pretty big ask up front. But here, if we just shift the resources, we can actually put a trajectory where we're there sooner than it probably you'd expect. So first of all, move to the pay-as-you-go approach for Police Fire 1. No changes to the other three open plans. They're all doing great. Set the baseline contribution in total from the city's perspective. So for fiscal 23, the city's putting in $52.4 million for the programs. And so what we're saying is we're just going to take that and we'll say a 2.5% growth rate a year, which is about inflation, right? So say growing with inflation, we're going to go up from 52.4 to 53.7. That's the 2.5% growth. And then that's going to be the city's pooled budget for the retiree programs. And then we're going to turn around and start putting money into the open plans, you know, the claims for the OPEB plan. And if there's anything left over, that's what goes into the OPEB plan. So it becomes a balancing item over time. And so here is the redone projection. Columns 2, 3, 4, and 6 are exactly the same. There's been no changes. Column 5, you can see, has changed to this modified contribution stream, and you can see how stable and beginning to decline at the end of the decade there. If you go all the way to the far right, column 8 and 9, that's just 2.5% growth, just projected off the 52.4, just 2.5% growth every year going out into the future. And so this column 7 is actually just a balancing item. We calculate column 8 first, fill in everything else, and whatever's left over is what goes into the OPEB trust. Now, the first 3 years, you can see it's not making a huge impact, but in 2027, when that amortization base for municipal plan falls off, that just flows directly into the OPEB trust. And now you've got cushion. And so you can see that starts to grow pretty rapidly at that point. Like I said earlier, in Fire 2 in 2032, when that amortization base falls off, that just goes into the OPEB trust. So basically, you have earmarked, you know, you've said, hey, in the future, as these opportunities start showing up, we're going to begin to put that into the OPEB trust, invest it, and generate investment earnings so that down the road, we can put less in, right? That's the goal. The goal is down the road to be able to put a lot less in. If we were to project this out, because that would be the next question. Wait a minute. Are we going 2.5% forever? Actually, no. About 25 years from now, all the programs would be fully funded. All the pension plans would be fully funded, the retiree medical. Now, Police Fire 1 wouldn't be, but we're not really trying to fund that one anymore, right? You're just going down the benefit payment line. But all the other ones would be fully funded, and then you would have just a lot of assets producing a lot of investment earnings to help pay these benefits. The OPEB trust itself, there are other sources of funds besides this this mechanism that could go to help accelerate some of this. Seed money from other sources. You know, I know there's some insurance reserves from as you shift carriers. I know there's been some negotiations on member contributions. Maybe the city has some other money laying around. You know, I'm sure there's always money laying around somewhere. I'm just saying, you know, there could be other places to put this money because this is going to be a very efficient way of using this. So here's the projection of the OPEB trust itself. And all this is doing, there's about a $5 million seed up front. It does have the 2% from the members that I've heard, you know, is a potential there. Otherwise, everything's just growing as expected. And so you can see at the end of the decade, the OPEB trust is up to 24% funded. Which, you know, some people are like, okay, you're only 24% funded. Well, that is infinitely better than zero, right? So, you know, you can't, you have to take this as where you are. Also, if you look over to the far right, the actually determined contribution, that's the total, like if you just ask an actuary, hey, what should we be putting this into the program to sustain the program and fully fund it based on current, like leading practices and all that stuff, it'd be the 24.4 million. And so you'd have to jump all the way to 24.4 overnight to get there. And that's what I was saying earlier. You'd have to go from 13 million up to 24 to do that overnight. That's a big ask. But you can see here as it grows, column 9 catches that amount in about 2029. So by 2029, you are meeting the actuarial determined contribution. And in fact, by 2032, you're actually putting in a little bit more than the actuarially determined contribution, which is going to accelerate this. And so the OPEB trust project to be fully funded between 23 and 26 years if these assumptions are met, which includes the 6.9% investment return assumption. Now, I think the next question is, okay, that's great, but what if the assumptions aren't met? So here's a stress test to this whole thing. This is the city's contribution projected out if all of the programs earn 5.9% all these years. So not 6.9, but and not just for 5 years, but for all 15 years, if municipal only earns 5.9, police two earns 5.9. So everything's earning 5.9. So we've missed by 1% over the next 15 years. You can see on the column 9 on the far right, the city up front, that's where the risk is, right? We only had $1 million buffer, right? So we kind of, because we have to put the right amounts in the other ones. You know, we have to do that. So these first few years, we have a little, now it's still less than the current plan would be doing. But after that, it's 2.5% growth throughout 2037. And in fact, it just keeps going. It never, that's always enough. And what you look at the OPEB trust contribution is continuing to grow. So it's still moving towards, and in fact, the OPEB trust will be fully funded in 30 years, even if the returns are only 5.9 going forward the whole time. All the other plans would be the 85 to 88% funded ratio in this scenario over time. And so one thing you notice, the police fire one, how it's just continuing to be not only be stable, but beginning to decline there. And that's really one of the reasons that if I'm going to pick between 5 and 6 on which one to go pay-go, you know, the one in the police fire one is much more predictable and stable and known. So that would be the one I would want to pay out of my general budget. And the one that's less predictable and less stable is the one I would want my assets to help me stabilize. Right. So one more big point here on the city's balance sheet. So all of these liabilities are on the city's balance sheet as a liability. So you can see there in total $801 million that will be on the 2022 balance sheet of the city across all the programs. Half of that is the OPEB plan. Now, the big reason that a half of it is the OPEB plan is because the discount rate that you have to use to calculate that liability is a lot lower. So the other plans, because we're funding them, we get to use the investment return assumption, which is 6.9 as our discount rate. But because the OPEB plan is not advance funded, we have to use a municipal bond index. And so that's 3.69% here. So there's this test you have to go through every year to determine what your discount rate's going to be. And if you pass the test, then you get to use the investment return assumption, the 6.9. And if you don't pass the test, and it's a stress test, it's not, they're trying to make you fail, okay? It's not just a simple thing. If you fail the test, then there's a series of steps you have to go through to figure out what the discount rate is. But let's go back to the first side. If we can pass the test from day one, we can use the 6.9 discount rate right now. Like fiscal 23's financial statements, we get to use a 6.9 instead of the 3.69. That would be $142 million of liability off the balance sheet immediately. And just because the change in discount rate. Now, so what does that mean? What do we have to do? Well, you have to have committed to a funding plan that is that passes the test. Okay. And basically what they do is they try to make you run out of money. They start putting stress on the system, trying to see if they can get you to run out of money. And if your funding plan is strong enough that you don't run out of money, then you get to use the 6.9. It actually would not take, the plan that's been presented here today will pass the test immediately. As long as there's a little bit of seed money. $5 million would absolutely do it. $3 million probably would do it. $2 million might do it. Okay, but there's a risk, okay? So basically I'm saying if you commit to the plan as proposed, then And it needs to be in writing. Like you can't just you say, hey, yeah, we're going to, you know, there needs to be something that's official that we can lean on. And your auditor says, yes, this is what they're going to do. Then we can run the test. We need a little bit of seed money up front. And it's really the same reason that your contributions have a little risk up front. It's because you're just starting from such a low spot. You don't have a balance there. So just a little bit of balance gives us a little bit of runway to get to 2027 when that money comes over, you know, when the money jumps up. Now you pass easily. So it's a question of when, not if. If you don't get the seed money, you probably don't pass today, but you would pass by 2027, you know, and then you'd get it. So you'd get it at some point. It's just when. This is one of those things that it doesn't make any sense. Like you hear it and you're like, this can't be right. This doesn't make, well, a lot of things in the accounting world and legal world don't make sense. They just are what they are. That's what you do. And this is one of those things. So, you would pass and everyone would agree that you pass and you get to use, you can see that it drops the liability from 397 to 255. So another in it, what that actually represents, at least theoretically, is the amount of savings the city would see over time by changing to this approach. It's saying that you should generate about $142 million of investment earnings to help pay these benefits over time if you'll begin to put money towards it. So it actually is a reasonable estimate of the amount of savings the city would get over time by beginning to be more of an advanced funding strategy to this program. So I'm going to wrap up. I know it was a lot to take at once. That's why you're not voting on anything today. You know, it's you got to absorb it. But it does decrease the city's long-term cost by generating investment earnings. It's not magic, right? It's not sleight of hand. It's just finding a way to generate more investment earnings to help pay the benefits, okay? Because you're going to pay the same benefits regardless. It's just the more investment earnings you can generate, the less contributions it's going to take to do it. If you were fully funded right now, this is just kind of, if you want, what's the carrot? Like, what are we really going for? If you were fully funded right now, your contribution for fiscal 24 would be $15 million in total. So if you didn't have an unfunded liability at all right now, you'd be putting in $15 million instead of $52 million. Okay, and that's what this is moving you to. About 25 years from now, the unfunded liability would be eliminated, and those are the kind of contributions you'd be looking at once you get to that point. It does expect to eliminate all the unfunded in 25 years. Even that 5.9% stress test was about 30 years. You're going to minimize your annual budget risk by going to more of a stable, just 2.5% growth approach. So instead of us calculating all the different pieces and just seeing what they do, it's more of a pooled approach where we've committed to the inflation growth, basically 2.5% growth, and then letting that one item be a balancing item that absorbs that volatility. It does generate about 1.7 million savings in your budget in fiscal 24. It's actually, it's 2.7 about in total, but that 1 million needs to go into the OPEB trust to be, you know, there was 1 million going to the OPEB trust up front. So it's about 1.7 savings on your actual cash. I think it will have a very positive impact on your balance sheet financial statements. I wouldn't be surprised at all if your bond rating actually, you actually saw a difference once this was implemented. But it does it all without reducing the benefits or putting them at bigger risk. In fact, I would argue it's reducing the risk that they have to change. I think it's actually stabilizing those benefits going out into the future. So that's the high level summary. It's a lot. I understand. It's mainly trying to get budget stability and then also optimizing those dollars. The next dollar you're going to put in to either Police Fire 1 or OPEB, I would argue the OPEB is a better long-term tool for that. So are there any questions at this point on any of this?
Thank you. So what we're going to do is the Finance Committee is going to identify the questions within the committee, then we'll go to council, then we'll go to public to answer any questions you may have. Director Schaefer, did you have any follow-up, or are you ready for the questions as well?
The only thing I would say is, and Joe and I have talked about this, is that there's nothing on the agenda for you tonight, obviously. This is an informational session. But if we went down this path, we would have to amend Section 2132 of the ordinance to revise the funding plan. And we probably need to do something that sets the benchmarks going out in terms of contributions for. So that would be before you at some later time.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We'll get the Finance Committee up at the table. Thanks so much. So we'll begin with the committee, and I will ask members of the committee if they have any questions or comments for either of the presenters. Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you for your presentation. Very helpful for the documents. I'm going to start with a very basic question.
Okay.
Can you just talk about, I think the first place it comes in is on slide 18, the annual rate of growth. Can you just explain the annual rate of growth compared to the return on investment?
Okay, sure. So this annual rate of growth you see here is just how much, column 8 there is the total employer contribution in dollars. It's just saying how much is that growing every year. So 53.7 in the second column times 1.025 would be 55.1. It's just a flat, basically saying your budget impact be growing about 2.5% a year or inflation. It's different than the investment return assumption, which is whatever your pool of assets is, what returns should those expect to generate in a given year?
Got it. So on the city side, what we are contributing to all of these funds sort of in an aggregate,
right?
The model expects that we will increase our contribution across all of those aggregated funds by 2.5% every
right.
year.
Right. In total.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does that continue in perpetuity, or does that continue just through in the scope of this plan, or?
The baseline that's been proposed would continue it until all of the funds are fully funded. I do think there will be opportunities, kind of like the discussion we're having tonight with the Police Fire One plan. Like that plan, the structure that was put in place 25 years ago for that plan was a good structure, and it's done well. It's got us to today. But there's always, at some point, you need to revisit it and make sure, hey, is this the most optimal going forward? I think there will be a time, you know, maybe 10, 15 years from now, when maybe a couple of them have gotten to fully funded and a couple of them haven't quite got there, but you're getting close, that you would want to revisit it all at that point and see what makes the most sense then. But I think for all of our current expectations, you know, the next decade for sure, that, yeah, I think baking in that 2.5% growth would be the way to go.
So would it be fair to say that when you combine the annual rate of growth with the employee contributions, that we get up to like a 4.5% rate of growth in terms of what's being contributed to those funds in aggregate? Yeah.
All right. 1 year.
Got it. Yep. That makes sense. Do you happen to know what our historical run rate on our pension funds, let's say, since we don't have the trust fund, but what the actual return on those investments has been like over 10 years or 15 years?
Well, it's always endpoint dependent, right? Like different points in time have different ones. Yeah. But I know the last 10 years has been, I think it's what, 6.6, 6.7, somewhere in that range. The last 10 years, we were just putting some information together on that.
Okay, which puts it somewhere between the base projection and the stress test case of 5.9.
Right.
Okay. All right. So thanks for those specific questions. So as we think about the strategy, you know, what are, in your opinion, the inherent risks or buckets of risk in the approach?
I think the first bucket of risk I discuss is those first few years, just because the amount of cushion you have is not very big, that it may have to be more than 2.5% those first few years. And that's just going to depend on, you know, what the markets do right now.
So for instance, if the amount of claims or the cost of the premium increased by say 5% in year one, we don't have any cushion. So the actual rate of growth would be 5%.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, after you get to 2027, and now you have $6 million of cushion, essentially, it became really hard to break it. It became very hard to need more than that for a long time. I do not see additional risks you don't already have. Like, you already got, you know, a cost, right? I mean, we showed earlier, you have what, 80% of pay going to these plans. So you already have that. Like, can you do that? And as long as, well, that's true now. So I would say that this is not changing that in any way. And in fact, it's helping you get to a point where it can be a lot less than that. And that's
got it. Any other buckets of risk in your mind?
I don't think so, because I think what's nice about these types of approaches, these are, I very much prefer and recommend these types of approaches that try to build in a cushion between what's the minimum the actuary says you need and what the city's actually trying to budget to give that cushion, that a little bit. So that way, you know, not only if something goes wrong, or, you know, maybe you get out to 2032 and we want to get a little more conservative on some of the assumptions, you have room to do it without it causing a big hiccup. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're always living at the edge, it becomes pretty difficult. So, so I think this helps to alleviate a lot of that. So it really reduces those risks. So like I said, I don't think there's any new risks that you didn't have. And I think you've actually begin to manage a lot of those risks in a pretty strong way in this approach.
Now, how about if the pace of retirement changed dramatically? Yeah. Like if more retirements happen sooner or something like that?
Right. Well, some of that's already happened to you. I mean, I was talking earlier kind of in that 2021 range right after COVID. You actually had a dip almost across all your populations. You had a lot of retirements. You had a lot of turnover, and our headcounts dropped. And so we saw it then. It appears that you've mostly recovered from that in this last cycle. And so there's not a lot of retirements left that can cause that kind of spike. It kind of happened to you already. So also because you're, and I think you call them tiers, it's tier one and two, right? Yeah, so you have new people are going into new benefit structures that are materially less valuable. And that means that, yeah, that maybe you had a few people retire that we didn't expect to, and that by itself did create a loss. But you've also replaced them with people in a lot lower benefit tier, and so the total may not hurt you that bad, if that makes sense. So I think to the retiree medical program is actually where you're a little more exposed to that. So maybe be nice to your people so they won't retire. That would be my. But no, I don't think there's much.
Okay. I think. Oh, just have you seen the strategy? Are other municipalities in the same situation as us that you work with, especially around the medical piece?
Yeah, but what you're always looking for is, like, I don't know, it's probably some old, you know, in the Art of War book or something, is how can you turn a disadvantage into an advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, right now, this Police Fire One program, kind of where it sits, is a big cost item. Like, it's, you know, it's something you're having to deal with right now. But when you turn it into this predictable declining number that's so big, and then you project 2.5% growth off of that, and then use that as your balance, you've kind of turned your disadvantage into your advantage. You mm-hmm. see how you, well, so unless the city happened to also have that, this program may not work. Right. If you didn't have that and we just had to start with everything else and we project that at 2.5%, it wouldn't work.
Right. So if we were in a underfunded.
Yeah. So it's actually the where you are right now kind of presents this opportunity to be able to go this route where a lot of your peers wouldn't have that. Now, there are other in Rhode Island, they would have something like that. But in general, across the country, there's not that many like that. So.
And then you talked about, so as we move to the PAYGO in fiscal 23 to 24,
mm-hmm.
There's that, what, $2.7 million
right.
Decrease in required contribution, of which $1 million is going right. to go to OPEB. In right. addition to the seed funds,
right,
seed funds. Would it be a recommendation to potentially shift all of that savings into that OPEB fund?
Well, you have to be careful. I work for the pension boards.
Yeah.
So I like money. And so, yeah, I would say, yeah, we need to put that money over there. But I know you have competing resources, but I think to fully see the value of the full plan, you need to make sure at least enough goes into it to pass that accounting test and to kind of seed it up so that we try to minimize that risk for these first 3 years. Okay. And to me, at least another 2 million. So the 1 plus 2 is going to get you into that range. So that's okay. Where I think there's a good spot right there. So
10 months. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Councilman. Questions from members of the committee? Are there questions from members of the council? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. Thank you very much for coming here from Texas, and welcome back to the city of Warwick. I just want to take a step back. I'm going to harp on a couple of things that Councilman Gephardt had spoken about, but everything has to be done on assumptions when we're doing the long-term plan. Can you talk about these assumptions that you're making? Would you categorize them as moderate, aggressive, conservative?
Sure. So there are a set of assumptions. One of the things that we try to do is to minimize the number of assumptions that can do much damage to us. And that's kind of to your point. Like if we have a bunch of retirements, well, I actually try to set up my models so that those can't hurt us too bad. Because if you're kind of slacking all that and you're having to battle on too many fronts, then it's not going to work. Right. So we want the investments. We have little control over, right? There's only so much we can do. Well, then we want to set it up so that that's really our only front, if at all possible. And so the 6.9 is the assumed return going forward. If you compare it to all historical information, it seems like a very reasonable middle-of-the-road assumption. It's definitely not conservative, you know, at all. But it definitely is in the middle of the road. In fact, I mean, if you started right now and the next 30 years did 6.9, that would actually be the worst 30-year period we've had yet. So I have a hard time saying it's too aggressive to assume the next 30 years is the worst ever. Like that's kind of a stretch, you know. But that does not mean it couldn't be there, because we really have only had about 3 30-year periods. So, you know, it's you could flip a coin heads and get 3 heads easy, right? Mm-hmm. If you flip 3 times, you can get 3 heads. So that's why we want to show the stress test, and we wanted to show 5.9, because I think it's important that you always could give yourself room, that if you miss by 1% on that assumption, you still have to be able to look at it and say, yes, we can do that. We can sustain that. We can survive that, and we're okay. Because there will be decades where you miss by 1%. Like you might do 6.9 over time, but there will be a decade you'd only do 5.9. You know, and so you need to be prepared and be able to handle that. And so that's why I thought it was important tonight, right off the bat, to go ahead and show how even if you miss by 1% for the next 15 years, this structure continues to perform. The city's budget is still growing, I think, what would be a reasonable, you know, inflation level pattern. And all the plans are continuing to improve. So it's a little remarkable that it's that positive, but it actually is. So, so investment return is the big one. And, usually the second big one is payroll growth. Like just overall, how's the payroll, the compensation growing? Because like for your open plans, that's how you receive contributions. And so to the individual plans, that would still be true, but because we're setting up this kind of overall strategy that is kind of outside of that, and growing at 2.5% a year, that would actually minimize that risk because the dollar amounts aren't really tied to what payroll's doing. So the other assumptions are all mortality. I don't see any risks of not only that hurting us, but changing it in the future. We're not going to be doing that. And then I just think everything else seems to be going pretty well. So I think it all is going to come down to investments. And that's what we wanted to show. Yeah, even if we miss by 1%, which could happen, it still works.
And I thank you for including that stress test in here. That was the big thing when the state was doing pension reform.
10, 15 years ago, the big fight was over the projection on how much actual return. Some were saying it was too high, it was too aggressive, and stuff like that. So this is good. It gives you the two scenarios to show where we could be. And again, can you highlight the 2026? What happens in 2026? That payment, how that's going to give us this opportunity, or just to give us this chance to look into this here. Can you highlight that one more time for us?
Sure. So all of the plans currently that, the pension plans are funded what's called a layered amortization, which is the leading approach in the industry right now. And basically what it says is every year when you do the valuation, if there's any new unfunded liability that has shown up that you didn't expect, could be from a change of assumptions, it could be from experience, for whatever reason, you want to put that over a known payment schedule. You don't want to leave that hanging. Like, set it up, pay it off. And all of your programs currently do that. We do 20-year layers so that every year if we have a new unfunded liability, and you can look at our report, we have them all itemized right there. You can see from 2016 what happened, and it shows you that's that payment schedule for that piece. So what that means is you've now got this payment schedule that's fixed in your process. When you get to the end of that schedule, that's going to now fall off. And so in this case, there was a big amortization base set up well into the past that set up to it, the last payment will be made in 2026. And so when that goes away, the contributions to that plan immediately, will come down to offset that. Now, In the current situation, that I suppose would just go into your normal budget process. I mean, I'm sure you'd fight over it, you know, in different ways. But what this is saying, hey, go ahead and earmark it. You know, it's currently going to a long-term obligation. Let's keep it in that bucket of going towards long-term obligations. And so that moves over and not only starts the process of funding the program, but that becomes your cushion. Like, that is actually what creates the room to be able to have stability in your budget. So it's not only saving you money long term, but it's creating that stability.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important part to highlight here. This is what this is all based off of, is this long term plan, this one particular fund here. You mentioned when you look at the stress test, there's no change in the municipal police 2 and fire 2. It's just that police and fire 1, the older plan there. And then again, if this was to go forward and you're projecting in 25 years, 23 to 25 years, we could see these programs fully funded?
Correct. If all assumptions are met, they would all be fully funded within 25 years. In the stress test here, the OPEB trust does get fully funded in 30 years. The others take longer because you're not earning 6.9, you're earning 5.9, so you're always having to kind of keep up, you know. But they're not falling apart. They're stabilizing in the high 80s, you know. So, yeah.
Which is excellent. So yeah. That's just another important thing to highlight, is that we are all concerned about our long-term obligations, and this could be one way to address those. It's a long-term problem, and it's going to take a long-term solution like this. And then my final question is more of a general one. I know that you work for a lot of municipalities here in Rhode Island. You're from Texas and stuff like that. How does Warwick, how will we snapshot today compare? I mean, everyone's got these long-term plans. Yeah. How do we compare? How are we right now today?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes into two stories, right? I think all three of your open plans would be, you know, at the high end of the range with your peers as far as not only their funded status, but, you know, those kinds of things. But because of the police fire 1, you know, it makes it overall in the 60s, a funded ratio as a city, more, you know, closer to what the average is, unfortunately, in the country, is in that 60s range. Now the OPEB plan, most people are not advanced funding those. Most of them are pay-as-you-go, just like you're doing here. Mm-hmm. There are starting to be more, but it's true for the OPEB, just like it is the pension. If you're truly going to sustain them, you got to advance fund them. You've got to begin to put that money aside and invest them into something that can go faster than the medical trend to help you sustain that that trajectory over time. Otherwise, it's going to outrace your budget, you know. And so this is a great step in that way. So I think overall, especially you know, where this is going to be, the more it looks pretty good in the state, as you know. But it definitely, we still got work to do.
Yeah, absolutely have work to do. But I want to highlight, we're in a pretty good situation here that in the city of Warwick with the long-term plans. And I think that's, again, very important to highlight here. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to remind members of the audience, if you're going to have conversations, please feel free to step outside the chamber while this important presentation is answered and the questions that are being asked, so that everyone in the chamber can hear and understand the answers and the questions. Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.